Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And like I say, there is a million things to talk about in this field. I hope you enjoyed our show last week when our guest was professional astrologer Joan King, and she talked about Barack Obama, his natal chart, and how it compares to the U.S. Constitution. It was actually very interesting. I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of astrology, but she had a lot of very interesting things to say. So if you didn't get a chance to catch it, remember all the shows are archived on the DBS website. So check it out if you get a chance. I think you'll really enjoy it. But tonight, we're moving in another different direction, a little bit different. We've been talking a lot about UFOs, and UFOs, I adore that subject, but this next subject that we're talking about tonight is very, very near and dear to my heart, because I've actually had a lot of experiences with this. And we're going to be talking tonight about out-of-body exploring and astral projection. And our guest tonight, oh, we're so blessed to have him with us tonight, believe me, because he's one of the leaders in this field, a leading practitioner and teacher of astral travel and out-of-body travel, which is basically the same thing. They're just different terms to describe what happens when people leave their body. Our guest tonight is William Buhlman, that's B-U-H-L-M-A-N, and he's written a couple of outstanding books, which you absolutely have to read if you have any interest in out-of-body experiences, going out-of-body. They helped me so much, I can't tell you. His first book is called Adventures Beyond the Body, How to Experience Out-of-Body Travel, and it's an amazing adventure story as well as a guidebook on how to do this stuff. And it was published by HarperCollins, and his second book is called The Secret of the Soul, Using Out-of-Body Experiences to Understand Our True Nature, which basically takes off where the first one left off. Another really exciting adventure story describing his own out-of-body experiences, as well as giving a background on the subject and giving the novice all sorts of amazing tools to help achieve the out-of-body state, and not only achieve it, but maintain it, which is actually the real trick. And you'll discover that once you start doing it. But anyway, let's get right to our guest, because I'm sure he has an enormous number of amazing stories to tell us. William, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Preston.
So, like I said, I've read your books more than once, and they helped me a lot. And my experience pretty much paralleled yours in a lot of ways. I didn't get, as far along as you, but it's interesting because I started out skeptical, and I guess that's how you started out. You were skeptical of life after death and all this until 1972, is that right?
Right. I was a total agnostic. Nobody could have ever made me believe that that an afterlife or out-of-body experiences were possible. I just didn't believe any of that.
Why not? I mean, haven't you heard of it before?
I had heard of it, but I just didn't find it logical. I was in college. I was a pretty logical thinker, and I thought it was just a bunch of baloney. And so I had my first experience, and then, of course, my head opened my eyes to a whole new reality that was quite exciting.
Right. So how did that all come about?
Well, a friend of mine in college had a spontaneous out-of-body experience, which many of them are, and it really changed him, and I wanted to experience it for myself, to make it real for me. I had to experience it. So I found that there were techniques available, and I did a simple technique, which I write about, called the target technique, where you visualize, as you're falling asleep, you visualize 3-4 targets that are away from your body some distance. And I imagine myself walking to these targets. And I did this every night for 3-4 weeks. And to be quite frank, nothing happened that was dramatic for the first 3 weeks. And I was starting to believe it was all a bunch of baloney. And then in the fourth week, I had my first out-of-body experience. And then it just shocked me. I literally just found myself totally separated from my body and fully conscious. And that was the beginning of a whole awakening that, my God, this is real. And during that first experience, I actually saw someone else that was in the non-physical state. It was a man with a robe, and he was just looking at me. But the whole event was just so, it was a paradigm changer for me. It just, and I had to explore it further. That first experience just took me. And then I began to explore it very seriously.
Right. That's very similar to what happened to me. I was very skeptical, picked up a book on it. I'm like, I wonder if this is true. It seemed true. Thought I'd try the exercises. It took me about a month. And I started having it was shocking at first, but it only takes one experience to really convince you that something to do this, right?
I think it's the most exciting thing you can do. I still, to this day, I've traveled the world. I lived in China for 4 years. But nothing's quite as exciting as an out-of-body, a fully conscious out-of-body experience. I mean, you feel like Christopher Columbus. You feel, you're entering a whole new dimension of reality. And it is so incredibly exciting, and I find it fun, or I wouldn't still be pursuing it. I really look forward to my experiences because they're always unique. They're always an adventure, and sometimes they just get pure. They just get wild. It's hard to sometimes comprehend them, but you can verify this for yourself, and that's what I find really exciting. Now, this is not about believing in something. I don't want anybody to believe anything. This is about having the experience for yourself and exploring it for yourself.
Well, how did you prove to yourself that these were not just dreams? And this is something skeptics always ask. They're like, how do you know?
It's the difference between being the quarterback on the field during the Super Bowl and watching the Super Bowl. That's the best analogy I can use. I mean, it's your fully ego conscious is present. And that's what some is for at first is so shocking. Because we've been taught in our religions that, this is just not the norm. You die when you leave your body, which, of course, is not the case. But it absolutely is your full awareness present. You can make decisions. You can move from one. You can consciously control the experience and move from your house to your neighbor's house, for instance. I mean, it's not the same in a dream. I'm a big lucid dreamer also, by the way. And I think lucid dreams are fun. I explore lucid dreams. I'd even thought about writing a book on lucid dreaming. But it's not the same level of intensity in reality. An OBE is just so incredibly real, just like we are right now talking to one another. It's that real.
Well, are lucid dreamers, are people when they're dreaming out of their body? Do you know what I mean? I mean, when you're lucid dreaming, are you already out of your body?
There's no absolute confirmation from research of what is occurring. There's just people's opinions. And I personally feel that more than likely lucid dreamers are out of their body, but they're not fully conscious. And I write about this in Secret of the Soul that there's a continuance of consciousness that we go through. Because when we fall asleep, people forget this is an altered state of consciousness. For 8 hours, we are in an altered state. And there's various levels in that altered state, including a dream state, various levels of lucidity in that state. Sometimes lucid dreams are more lucid than others. They're more vivid, they're more real. And then at the top of this is, of course, a fully conscious OBE. I feel there is a connection between all of them. It's the percentage or degree of consciousness that's present in the experience, I think, that truly is a difference between an OBE and a lucid dream. And, of course, this makes all the difference in the world because it's the degree of consciousness determines exactly when we're fully present in any experience.
Right.
So, yes, I do believe there's a connection.
Would you say that in the out-of-body state you can have a, how will I put this, a greater consciousness than in the waking state?
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. You can increase your awareness in the OBE state. You can also move to a finer energy body, which is naturally will have a more expansive state of consciousness. You can actually move your consciousness. See, most people look at us humans as body, mind, spirit. And we're much more complex beings than this, I found from my experience. We actually are all operating multiple energy bodies. And when you leave your body, you have the ability to increase, let's just call it increase your vibration rate. And you can move from, let's say, let's just call it your astral body, and you can raise your vibrations. You can begin to do affirmations. And for instance, I teach a technique called higher self. You can, during an OBE, you can demand to experience your higher self. And this demand, if repeated, will begin to move you in a sense. When I say move, I'm talking about from a conscious level. It will expand you into a higher state. And from there, you will see that your perception is generally 360 degrees. You're entering into a whole new realm of consciousness. That's all part of us. And that's what makes this so fascinating. We have the ability to explore our inner self.
Yeah, you know, I followed the instructions in your book, and it was amazing. I mean, I had some wild experiences. I would pop out of my body and call for my higher self, and I would get whisked away by this force into, just like you say, a complete unusual experience, a different dimension. So, you know, your book is amazing. You know, when I first started, for me, I had a lot of barriers. When I pop out of my body, first it was extremely scary. I thought I died, and I dived right back into my body. Then, of course, I was very excited. And then every time I popped out, I was so darn excited, I just could not remain conscious. And,
that's very common, by the way.
How did that progress for you?
It's always a challenge. I mean, I, as you probably know from my work, I don't sugarcoat anything. You have to work at it. There's a lot of us hold subconscious fears that can become manifest, so to speak. And we also, there's a tendency to get excited. And any random thought of your physical body or sensation of your body will immediately return you to your physical body and end the experience. So you have to learn to control yourself to remain incredibly calm, and there's no other word for it. And you become almost, you don't become excited. You have to become as logical as possible and direct yourself away from your body and then continue to direct yourself. I use and teach different techniques like clarity now and awareness now. And I use these as mantras during my OBEs to extend my experiences. And I found that to be incredibly effective. It's almost like an inner mantra, and it holds my attention.
How did you hit upon that? I mean, that's the one, that Clarity Now exercise, that's what did it for me. That took my out-of-body experiences lasting from 1-2 seconds to 5-10 minutes, over an hour in some cases. So I mean,
yeah, that's the key.
Wow.
I mean, I just trial and error. It's been 37 years now.
Wow.
Of trial and error, and I still am learning. There's still so much to learn about the entire, not only us, but the universe. But since we are the microcosm of the universe, I find that the main key is to begin to focus on controlling your own state of consciousness as much as possible. And within that framework, then you can begin to explore within yourself. And that's what makes this so darn exciting. Once you get some control, like I teach in my workshops to move away from your body at least 10 feet. At always. And you know why, because some people call it the cord activity range. I call it just magnetism. Right. It's a sense we're just attracted. And once you get beyond that, you break that. That's one of the barriers that's a problem at the beginning. A lot of people hang close to their physical surroundings in their home. And I teach people to get out of there, get out of that room, get out of that space, and to do that mantra of awareness now. And that way you can control the experience. And that's when you really start to get incredible benefits. That's when you begin to explore and you go, that's when you begin to really enter the astral world instead of just hanging out at the parallel world, which most people do.
Right. That's what I did for the first couple of years, just hanging out in my house and visiting friends and stuff like that. But now, you know, it's very hard to stay in the physical world. It's much more exciting on the other dimensions, I guess.
Yes, and also we have a tendency to go to our natural state as we progress. Wherever we're comfortable in our vibration state, because there's a tendency, for instance, many people will begin to lose, after you maintain your OBE for more than 5 minutes especially, your physical form will begin to dissolve. If you stare at your hand, it will dissolve because it's not real. You've probably experienced that.
Yeah,
you stare at your hand, it will begin to dissolve because it's a construct. We have no eyes. We have no ears. We're consciousness. We created these forms as vehicles of exploration, and that's all they are.
Very interesting. Wow. So what about, you know, for me, it totally transformed my life. I mean, not only did it prove to me that there's life after death and just made me really look forward to going to sleep and flying around. Flying, I thought, was really the funnest thing at first. But it changed my waking life, too, because I would come back with dreams that would come true. Almost every time I'd go out, I'd have some sort of vision or precognition, I guess you'd call it. And did you experience that? And how would you explain
absolutely.
That? I mean, what's going on there?
That's a good question. It gets wild. At first, I took things for granted. I remember once I saw a cruise ship during an OBE, and I couldn't figure it out. And this is the kind of things that do happen. You'll see things, and you don't comprehend what they mean at the time. That's why I always tell people to keep a journal. And then 6 months later, I got a call from the Inner Voyage for me to be a speaker on a cruise ship.
There you go.
That's the kind of stuff that happens. A lot of times we'll connect to our futures or future events. And it will also connect to past events, which I have found in multiple times. And I write about this extensively, you'll just have spontaneous experiences. It's almost like a higher part of yourself is directing the experience. And suddenly, for me, I found myself as a German soldier during World War II. And I had this repeated experience of this. And it was incredibly intense, and I was a German tank commander, and I ended up being killed on the Russian front.
Wow.
Back in late 43. And when you have these repeated experiences, it starts to connect. I feel now we're connecting with our own timeline, or however you wish to view it. Because the term past life experiences really is nebulous, especially if everything is occurring concurrently. But the whole idea of the timeline becomes kind of, as you've probably discovered, the timeline is not how we view it, the linear timeline. And like many of the things how we view reality, it's not exactly the way it appears in our form-based perception of things. But it gets incredibly exciting. You can begin to explore your own timeline and begin to have a connection to what you may, you know, these experiences that molded you. Because we're the end result of many, many millions of experiences.
Right.
And the more you know about yourself, the more you can grow more rapidly and evolve more rapidly.
Now, do you suppose is this dangerous at all? I surveyed the literature, and I can't really find out. Hardly anything that is dangerous associated
with it? I have never found anything that's dangerous about it. I know there's some people that say that the whole idea of leaving your body is dangerous. I find that to be just superstitious and silly. I mean, I've been having experiences for 37 years, and I'm incredibly healthy. I'm 58 years old, incredibly healthy. I've never seen or experienced anything that I would. I know that's another issue. I think a lot of those issues are. I think for somebody to have control over you, you have to allow it, number one.
Okay.
On some level, it may be subconscious even, but you have to invite that kind of event. I don't necessarily even believe in the concept. I have never seen anything that supports it, let's put it that way. And I certainly have never experienced it.
How about hostile entities? You must have experienced that.
Yes, I have, but in retrospect, and I write about one. For instance, the giant sloth experience, where at first I felt like I was attacked by this hideous creature, and then I realized that the creature was actually a manifestation of my own fear, and by my confrontation of this giant sloth, which I was afraid, and I just held my ground. And during the experience, after this creature, which is like a giant sloth with the head of a dog, that's the only way I can describe it, it licked my face and then it disappeared. And when it disappeared, I felt incredibly empowered by the whole experience. I feel now, and I've had multiple experiences like this, everybody labels their experiences. And I realize that all of these experiences, for instance, Robert Munro's experience of trying to land a plane on the top of a building, same thing. He was confronting his own fears because he was a pilot of a small plane. And that's probably, we can imagine how terrifying that is to know that's impossible to do, but you have to do it. I've had other experiences where I confronted wild animals and things like that. And now I realize, after about 15 years of having experiences, I realize that it was my mind's creation. And it was an opportunity. It wasn't a negative experience, as you may imagine at first glance. It was a very positive opportunity to confront your own fear. It was actually a very illuminating and empowering experience. And this is what I feel a lot of these so-called negative experiences actually are, and people aren't in tune with it.
Wow. You know, I've had that same experience several times of different wild animals coming and attacking me. And it's
I have people writing to me all the time, and I know it looks and feels incredibly real because it is real. But we have to remember that once we leave our body, we're entering a dimension that's incredibly thought responsive. And everybody that has OBEs knows this.
Right.
And our thoughts are incredibly powerful. And we create our reality in the physical world, but we create it much more elegantly and faster in the non-physical worlds, like the astral world. In the astral world, we can create our reality instantaneously. But these events that many people label as negative, which are, by the way, it's all relative. I would say they're 1% of my experiences have been confrontational, if that.
Right.
Most of my experiences have been, I think, very positive and wonderful. But when you look at the context, when you look into the deep, when you dig into it, you realize that all of your experiences were absolutely positive events because they were all opportunities for growth. It's like I do a lot of past life regression in my workshops, group past life regression. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, so I used to have a private practice. And there was an old saying in hypnotherapy that you almost hope that the person has a traumatic experience because that's where the learning is. And a lot of people don't realize that. When you confront something and overcome it, you've made great headway. Wow. You've really evolved.
You know, it's funny, when I'd pop out of my body and I'd call for I'd want to see a past life. And I'd get whisked off to this past life, and you know, 9 times out of 10, it's the death scene. So a couple of times it's something, some really amazing event, you know, like escaping a kidnapping was one, or another was a Native
yeah.
American vision quest type thing. But every other time it's taken me to the death scene, so that's trauma.
Yeah, I agree. Most of mine, I think it's a signature. It's an energy signature that you're holding, because we are the end result of all these experiences.
Huh.
I can relate to that. My experience that I write about, or one of them, was my personal death scene during World War II. But I know exactly what you mean. I would say that about 70% of my experiences brought me to some kind of death scene, or just a pre-death scene, just as some traumatic event was occurring. But these are, it's like an energy signature, and we're attracted, I think. This is just my take on it. We're attracted to the most, let's just say, highest energy that we're holding for each lifetime. And often that might be the immediately before death, especially if it was a dramatic or traumatic death.
Very interesting.
That's my take.
You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is William Buhlmann, and he is an astral traveler, as many, many of us out there are, and he has written a couple of really amazing books, which I highly, highly recommend: Adventures Beyond the Body, How to Experience Out-of-Body Travel, and The Secret of the Soul. He also has a website, which I believe is www.astralinfo.org, and you can learn more about him and his books and how to get out of body there. So after the show, check it out. But let's get back to talking with William. Now, William, what would you say is one of your most amazing and most advanced, or your favorite out-of-body experience, one that, you know, you draw strength from, or whatever?
There's one that stands heads above all, and that's, of course, what I do during an out-of-body experience. I have kind of a ritual I go through. I first separate often, and then I move out of the room, which is generally more than 15 feet. Most of my experiences are on the sofa during the day. And I move away from the room, and then I demand to experience my higher self. And that is by far, it's just incredible. I mean, you never know exactly what's going to happen, but I absolutely demand it in a very powerful way. None of this wimpy requests. I demand to experience my higher self, or what I keep my all affirmations very succinct. It's higher self now is my affirmation. And I scream it in a way, in my mind, of course, when all these so-called words are always in your mind. And then suddenly you just feel like you're shooting up through layers of light, through layers of color. And you never know exactly where you're going to end up, because every time you do it, it's not always the same. But the most profound one that I've had was definitely when I'm just shooting through these endless layers of light, and you feel like you're being stretched across the universe, and you really feel like you're no way you're ever going to come back from this. You can feel yourself being stretched through the entire universe, and then suddenly you find yourself just, you're in a sea of white light, and
right.
You just are connected to everything, and you just, there's no form. You can't really explain this in words. They're totally inadequate.
That's the white light of that near-death experiencers describe?
I don't think it is. I think this is a whole different kind of experience. I think it's just pure consciousness. It's just pure consciousness that goes way beyond the near-death experience, because most near-death experiences are still very much on the lower astral plane for most people.
Right.
And this, to me, is what I feel is the one experience that you have to really, if you're going to pursue out-of-body exploration, this is something, it's just a must-do. Because it just opens you up to almost, I can't even describe it. You just feel like you're in touch with all knowledge, everything. Now, unfortunately, what's frustrating is you want to hold it, but you can't bring it all back with you. Because you have the entire knowledge, it feels like, of everything right there at your access to it all, and you're just one with it.
Yeah, what is that? Why is memory so tricky in the out-of-body state? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've lost so much, you know, upon awakening.
Well, I think you're right. It's because I think our big limitation is our physical brain and how much it can hold. I really think that. I think from a higher self standpoint, we remember everything. Just like we have a complete record of our past lives. We have a record of every event that's ever happened in this life and every life, but our physical brain can't grasp it. It's unfortunate because I know I have the same thing. It's frustrating. You feel like, oh my God, I have the answers here. I have everything. I know. And then suddenly you come back and it's like, oh crap, I forgot it.
Right.
But you bring back some of it. You bring back enough, apparently. I really think that's what we're working with, just the limitations of of the brain. But I still feel that is the single most experience that is, just so important because I feel it really breaks us free from a lot of the, let's just say the form-based realities that most people are, for lack of a better word, imprisoned in.
Right. You know, I've called my higher self many times, and sometimes, I mean, just the most bizarre things happen sometimes. One time I remember I'm like, I want to see my higher self, and boom, I was taken to see my brother and sister in this weird, my brother and my sister-in-law in this weird place. And I just thought it was the most hilarious thing, but I don't quite understand. Weird things happen,
well,
you know?
Yeah, and some of these experiences you don't understand. Matter of fact, many of them you don't understand because your mind is working. Your mind is using form to explain things that are formless.
Okay.
And that's why I think it's so difficult. And your mind is using the forms that it's accustomed to in this life. Because, you know, we're used to everything is labeled and classified and categorized. Of course, the universe doesn't operate like this at all. I mean, the universe is non-form-based. It's only the denser dimensions that are so locked in form. So we're trying to classify a non-form-based reality using our old form-based concepts, and that's where I think the limitations come up. Matter of fact, I know that's what it is, and we all deal with that as out-of-body explorers. That's part of the issue. You're not going to understand every event. You just what I tell people to do is to write down every experience, and then look at it later, because sometimes suddenly it'll start to come together.
Right. And anybody can do this, right? I mean, it's available. This is an easy. Relatively easy skill to learn?
Yes. Yes, it is. You have to dedicate 30 to 60 days of a simple technique that's very easy to incorporate. You know, it's kind of like meditation. As people get so frustrated, and I realize this from my workshops that I do, but typically it took me almost 30 days to have my first experience. Some people are naturals, as you probably met, I've met. They can have an experience in one day. But most of us have to work at it. And in a way, the best thing to compare it to is like meditation. Nobody sits down to meditate and expects to be the Buddha the next day or the next week or the next month. And the same kind of applies to out-of-body exploration. You have to have some patience. I look at it as my daily meditation. I do an out-of-body technique every day. It's very simple. Sometimes it's just an affirmation. Now I'm out of body, and I hold it as my last conscious thought as I'm falling asleep. And when I do this, not every time, but maybe 1 in 7, 1 in 8, 1 in 9, I'll have some kind of experience. it's very much like meditation. You know, I'm also a meditator, and meditation is the same kind of way. Sometimes you have these flashes of insight during meditation, but it doesn't mean you're going to have that every time. Sometimes you go deeper in meditation. It's very similar to that. But the key is to dedicate 30 days of daily practice. Doing a lot of the techniques I teach, you can do for 5 minutes as you're falling asleep. So they're easy to incorporate in anybody's lifestyle.
Right. You know, my whole motivation initially for exploring this subject was my mom died, and not believing in life after death, it was devastating. I saw her ghost, didn't believe it, but got interested in paranormal subjects and really became motivated to find her and where she was. And eventually I was successful at that, and that was really my biggest, best out-of-body experience ever. And I was wondering, you know, what about deceased loved ones? Have you done that? And where are our loved ones? Where are they living, and what is life like
most
for them?
I would say that probably that's the number one thing that people want to accomplish that attend my workshops. I have a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, my father just died, or I want to contact them, and I don't want to use a psychic. I don't want secondhand information. In my books, I do write about I contacted my mother and my uncle, and I've had other contacts with other people. I've had more contact with my mother than any other person. In fact, in one of my experiences, she actually gave me a tour of where she lives now. And it was kind of mundane, actually. It was like a townhouse. All brick. It looked brick. Of course, all this is our mind's construction of this. But it wasn't some palace, or it was just a normal middle class home. And she was living in this townhouse complex with all of her, like her soul group. I didn't realize it at the time, but she pointed that Aunt Elsie lived down the street, and her mother lived down the street. In other words, it was a community of people that were living together in this reality.
Right.
And she actually brought me into her house and showed me around, and it was incredible. I mean, I'm kind of talking about it like it was but it was an incredible experience. It was one of my most memorable experiences.
Was she walking on the ground and as she led you around? I mean, did you fly?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was very physical. Now, she was much young. When she died, she was 72 and overweight. When I saw her, and every time I've seen her, she looked like she's about 24 years old, vibrantly young, dark hair. She just looks young and vibrant and energetic. But it was her. You can tell from the energy signature.
I'm curious as to, you know, the environment that they're on. I mean, they're aware that they're dead. They're living in a...
Oh, yeah. They were... She was aware. And she was living with...
Is this a planet?
No. It's right here, right now. No, there's no separation. Everybody that dies... people have this weird concept of this travel... The people that die live right here next to us. They're just vibrating at a much finer frequency. They're all right here. It's amazing, matter of fact. There is no distance, per se. It's just a matter of vibrational rate, of density. People that die are just vibrating, or their density has been, there may be, you know, 1/1000th of the density that we are right now. And they're vibrating at a finer rate. But to them, you know, reality is relative to the vibration and density of the observer. It's kind of like when you're in a jet and you look over and there's another jet next to you and they're going the same speed, where you two would look like you're standing still. It's the same kind of concept. I found that the astral plane is where most... I know that's a wide term. I just call it one of the non-physical dimensions. But most people that die end up in a form-based, non-physical dimension that's actually parallel to the physical world. Now, they're out of phase with it. And, of course, this explains ghosts, too. I mean, this explains ghosts and all this paranormal, a lot of the paranormal things that occur. I mean, we're living in a very crowded world. When I leave my body, I've had 20 people in my look like they're in my house. I mean, that's what it feels like. It's kind of creepy, actually. I could tell you story after story that the universe is very crowded, and that this is why there's so much ghost phenomena around the world, and because they're not gone. They're not different. They're still the way they were in many ways. They don't become illuminated just because you die. You're still the same person. You're just vibrating differently. Now, you do assume a younger form because your people that die, and this has been something I've observed time and time again, almost everybody I've ever had contact with was always younger. My uncle, who was an older, overweight man, he was looked like he was about 20, 21 years old. I mean, they're always, that seems to be because people or their minds are adapting the energy of their bodies to their self-concept they hold of themselves.
Uh-huh, interesting.
And this seems to be universal from what I've experienced. Have I ever seen an old person, per se.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I'm going through my own mind thinking, and you're right, but there's one experience that does stand out for me. I popped out of my body and I called out, I said, I want to see an enlightened master, you know, a spiritually advanced being. And this lady appeared and she said, keep your eyes open. She said it very strongly, but then whisked me away so quickly I closed my eyes for just a second, but opened them and she deposited me in front of this old man who gave me, you know, an enigmatic message. And are there enlightened masters out there? I mean, do we have spirit guides that are leading us?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yes. And there are enlightened masters. There definitely are. Now, remember, our mind is interpreting. Our perception of an enlightened master is almost like Gandalf with the beard. And, you know, the universe is interactive. So I'm always careful when I have experiences that I know that I'm interacting. It doesn't mean it's not a valid experience, but we're interpreting, in other words, the energy that we are perceiving with our minds, because we don't have eyes. There's no, you know, like I said earlier, when you leave your body, and a lot of people forget this, you know, you're perceiving with your mind. So it's very important to keep the clarity of your own vision very sharp, and to be consciously aware of your own perception, which is what I think she meant by keeping your eyes open. That means something more than just your... because you had no physical eyes during that experience. She wanted you to keep your awareness open. And the age of that old man may have been a reference point that you expect... Now, I'm just using this as an example, because I've had the same kind of experience. Where the master was an older gentleman. But that's partially due to the fact that in our culture, that's our expectation.
Huh.
In other cultures, the master may be a woman. Or it might be, for instance, in shamanic cultures, it could be an animal. So a power animal could appear and be the teacher. Which is very common, by the way, in South. I get a lot of mail from South America. I'm doing a workshop there in a couple months, and I get a lot of feedback from power animals that are teaching people in the astral plane.
Yeah,
but it's part of their culture.
I have a real interest in Native American culture. I'm not Native American, but I called to see my spirit guide, and it was a coyote who took me on, you know, some adventures. It was kind of neat, you know, pretty interesting. Gosh, I have so many questions I want to ask you, William. Are we able to move physical objects while out of body? I became obsessed with that for like a year and never was able to do it. But I've read.
No, I was. Me too. I tried it and tried it. I've never been able to do it. I tried moving even something as small as a pencil. I put pencils at the edge of the bed. I did all kinds of little experiments. I tried to put out a candle. I tried to move, and I swear I thought I had moved, like the pencils, I thought I had moved them. I tried to open a refrigerator once. I mean, I tried all kinds of open doors.
Well,
I've never been
moving objects, so
I but what's It's possible, but I'd see what happens. You have to lower your vibration rate to affect matter. And as you, this is one thing I found, it's not to get too deep into this, but as you lower your vibration, you get to a point where it just automatically pops back into your body.
Wow.
That's what I found from trial and error. And then, of course, you realize very quickly that all that stuff is meaningless because there's so much more to explore. You know, here we have the universe at our fingertips. It's like I realized that, oh, my God, who cares about the darn door? Who cares about the earth? Who cares about, you know, you get to different levels. Like, who cares about humans? Who cares? I'm not human. You find you realize that you're not human. I don't know if you went through that, but once you lose your physical form and you find that you're like a globe of consciousness, it's like you realize, I'm not a human being. Consciousness isn't a human being. I'm just using this form as a vehicle on this planet temporarily. But it's not what I am. And so you go through all these little things that your interest becomes, you get interested to explore deeper and deeper within yourself. And the people that are so concerned with proof, I just don't care anymore about that. I find it silly.
Right.
Yeah, proof isn't having your own experience. That's what I tell people.
Right.
Don't take my word for it.
Another thing that, an experience I had that was really rewarding when I've repeated is calling to see the Akashic Library, and which in my experience was this big, huge marble-like building with pillars, and it was very beautiful. And I saw a book, I think, was by Sylvia Brown, and there was a picture in it, looked straight out of, you know, what I saw, and it was also labeled the Akashic Library. I was wondering what your thoughts on this Akashic Library, the Akashic Plane.
It definitely exists. I don't have a label for it, but yes, I've had it appear as different things. I had it appear as a library where I was looking through a card catalog. This goes back years ago. Nowadays, I don't know if they have such a thing. More recently, I had an experience where it was more like a computer program, because it's our mind's interpretation of the Akashic records. And as our technology improves or evolves, so does our perception of what this thing may be. But yes, I've experienced it on appearing as different things. But one time I was like just accessing, I was the computer, and I just accessed it. And then I realized it was the same thing as the marble building I was standing in. It's our mind's perception of the same kind of event. But yes, there's some level, and I know people like to put labels on it. I don't know, people just call it the Akashic Records. But yes, it does exist, and it's fascinating because we have the ability to connect with it.
Wow. Well, we just got like a few minutes to wrap up the show, so I want to give you an opportunity to say anything that you feel our listeners need to hear. And like, are you writing a new book? And
I'm writing a novel, but it won't be out for a while. It's difficult, as you probably know, to get published nowadays because of the crisis, the financial thing. But yes, I'm writing a book. I'm doing a workshop in Denver, March 20th. I'm doing a workshop in Sedona in April. And I do a lot of different events. And then I'm doing a bunch of, I'm doing Venezuela and Europe also. I do a 3-day workshop, which is quite intense. I use a lot of hypnosis. And it incorporates out-of-body experiences, out-of-body exploration experiences, and also I do some past life regression experiences. So, it's pretty, and then I also have a fire ceremony whenever I can on Saturday night. But it's pretty intense. We start Saturday, for instance, at 9, and we'll go to 10 o'clock at night. And we go it's nonstop. It's not lectures. We do, I focus on everyone doing the techniques.
Right.
Everybody's laying down. And it's really getting into doing the techniques, not just talking about them. So that's a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing the workshops.
Right.
So that's my
sorry. Go ahead.
That's my the main thing that I've been doing for the last, well, I've been doing my workshops now for 15 years.
Wow.
But when I was living in China, I didn't do as many. So now that I moved back last year. So now I'm doing more workshops. Several people asked me about that. But I try to pick interesting places. You know, you can't get any better than Sedona. I mean, God, it's just, we're going to be right at the airport, one of the airport lodges, which is right next to one of the vortexes.
Right.
It's just an incredible area, high energy area. And people have a great time, you know. That's what I love to do now.
Well,
I'm working on a new book also, though, but who, you know, we'll see.
Well, I'll keep a lookout for it. You have a website that people can go to?
Yes, astroinfo.org. That's my personal website. And there's also survey results are on there that I did, and all my events and stuff like that. There's also a newsletter that I try to send out every month or two related to out-of-body exploring. But the main thing I like to get across to the audience, if they have any doubts, is that, you know, this is real. You have to experience it yourself to really get a handle on how incredible it is.
Right.
Because it sounds like many people ask me, what's the benefit? Why would you want to leave your body? And it's very simple. Answers. I want to know if I continue. I can't even comprehend people that can live for 80, 90 years in the physical body and still not know what happens when they die. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what their purpose is. That's insanity. It's a form of collective insanity. People have locked themselves into this form-based reality.
Yep.
So OBEs provide answers.
Well, I think people should definitely read your books, because I can't tell you, William, how much you helped me personally, the exercises you gave and just the inspiration. So thank you for that.
Well, it's exciting, and it's, but it's difficult for some people that are so locked in their little day-to-day life to go beyond that.
Right.
It really opens up a whole new exciting realm for everyone, I think.
Right. Hey, I was so inspired I had to write a book about it. Well, William, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was great. You were fantastic.
Well, it's my pleasure, Preston, anytime.
All right, yeah, I'd definitely like to have you back on again. I still have all kinds of questions I didn't get to. Definitely. All right, everyone, well, that is our show for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and you've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest tonight has been William Buhlmann. That's Buhlmann. If you have any interest in out-of-body experiences, you have to check out his books, Adventures Beyond the Body, How to Experience Out-of-Body Travel, and The Secret of the Soul. Both are available in bookstores or on Amazon.com. Also, check out his website, www.astralinfo.org. I guarantee you, it will change your life for the better. Well, that's it, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have, and I hope you can join us next week when we bring on another exciting guest on UFOs and the Paranormal on BBS Network. Till then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.